Jose Bustamante was a killer, but he was not a gunman in the classic sense. He was an assassin, pure and simple. When Bustamante learned there was a wealthy Texan who was willing to pay well to have someone killed, he started to contact him, but he decided to just go see him instead. Thus it was that when he arrived at Atwood's house, he was unexpected. Dismounting in front of Atwood's house, he didn't bother to knock on the door. Instead, he sat on the porch swing and remained there for well over an hour and a half before Atwood, who had no idea that Bustamante was out there, came outside.
Who are you?
I am Bustamante.
How dare you sit on my front porch without permission? What are you doing here?
You sent for me, senor.
What are you talking about? I didn't send for you.
Bustamante took a piece of paper from his pocket and showed it to Atwood. It was a letter Atwood had written to an acquaintance he could trust.
From time to time in my business, I may have occasion to use a person who is possessed of a particular talent, as well as the predilection to use it without question or compunction. If you know such a person, I would be most anxious to hire him.
Atwood had sent the letter, but he'd sent it 6 months earlier, long before Smoke Jensen had arrived on the scene. As it turned out, this was exactly one of those times that he had mentioned in the letter. If this Mexican really was such a man, it was an unexpected and fortuitous piece of good luck that he should arrive here now, when Atwood's need was even greater than it had ever been.
Where did you get this letter?
A man I did a job for gave me the letter.
Are you good with a gun?
I do not have a gun.
You don't have a gun?
No, senor.
Then there has been some misunderstanding here. Apparently, you don't know what I'm looking for.
Do you want someone killed, senor?
That's a hell of a question to ask.
Do you want someone killed?
What if I do? How are you gonna do it without a gun?
I do not need to be good with a gun, because I do not use a gun. For me, senor, killing is not a sport. It is a profession.
There have been others who have tried to kill Smoke Jensen, but they have all failed.
I am not like others.
Yeah. Maybe you'll do after all. I do want someone killed. His name is Smoke Jensen, and you will find him in town.
Smoke was in the Bull and Heifer Saloon campaigning for the election.
Hell yeah, I'll vote against the taxes. I don't like paying extra for my drinks.
And for everything else you have to buy, too.
Mr. Jensen, you have a beer on the house. I think the best thing that's happened to this town is you coming here.
Hell, I think he ain't done nothing but bring trouble to the town.
You would say that, Hicks. You're riding for Atwood.
Yeah? So what if I do?
Well, he ain't really riding for him. He ain't a cowboy.
If you mean I don't walk around with cow dung on my boots the way you and the others do, Slim, then yeah, I ain't a cowboy. But there's other jobs Mr. Atwood needs done besides cowboying, and he hires special people for that.
I think I've run across some of these special people you're talking about. As a matter of fact, three of them came into my hotel room the other night, intent upon killing my wife and me.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't know nothing about that.
No, I'm sure that you don't.
Smoke enjoyed his beer and then left the Bull and Heifer Saloon. It was very dark outside, with only the moon and a dim square light around the few lamp posts keeping it from being as black as the inside of a pit. Smoke could see the lights of the Milner house, and he started toward them. Sally was already there, probably reading, and he was anxious to get back to her. He knew that most wives, being displaced from home for as long as Sally had been, would probably start showing their displeasure. But Sally was supportive in every way, and he was glad she'd made such good friends with Pearlie's sister. It was almost as if Kate, like Pearlie, had been invited into the family. He felt the assassin coming for him before he heard him, and he heard him before he saw him. A man, obviously a Mexican, suddenly materialized from the dark shadows between the buildings, and he sprang at Smoke, making a wide slash with his knife. Only that innate sense that allowed Smoke to perceive danger when there was no other sign had saved his life, for he was moving out of the way at the exact moment the man started his attack. Otherwise, the attacker's knife, swinging in a low, vicious arc, would have disemboweled him. Despite the quickness of his reaction, however, the attacker did manage to cut him. And as Smoke went down into the dirt, rolling to get away, the flashing blade opened up a long wound in his side. The knife was so sharp and wielded so adroitly that Smoke barely felt it. He knew, however, that the knife had drawn blood. The Mexican moved in quickly, thinking to finish Smoke off before he could recover. But Smoke twisted around on the ground, then thrust his feet out, catching the assailant in the chest with a powerful kick and driving him back several feet. But the Mexican was good, skilled, and agile, and he recovered quickly. So that by the time Smoke was back on his feet, he was once again facing the knife wielder. Smoke reached for his pistol, then he realized with a shock that his holster was empty. The gun had fallen out while he was on the ground. He was unarmed and having to face someone who obviously knew how to use a knife. And that attacker realized that Smoke was defenseless. He made another swipe with his knife. Smoke managed to avoid the knife and thrusting out with the heel of his hand, he hit the man in the forehead, driving him back a few feet. Smoke looked around on the ground to find his pistol as the attacker charged him again. The Mexican went down, and Smoke turned to see Sally standing behind him, about 20 feet away, holding a smoking gun. She walked up to him.
I was getting tired of waiting, so I decided to come see what was keeping you.